Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Jake, I did say it's earlier to talk to Jake today. The Drew didn't realize. He didn't realize the time difference between talking to Jake. I mean, this is a very big request we're doing here.
Yeah. He is here, though, and he's ready to go.
Which one of his calls do you think with the Kegs home run was your favorite?
I don't know. Let's have Jake come in. Jake, which one was your favorite to call? Was it the first one?
Oh, goodness.
Is it the first or the second,
first one,
Jake?
The first one's always going to be special because it's the first one. I liked the second one a little bit better personally, just because, I mean, that was a no-doubter. Like, you knew it off the bat. The fact that it was, you know, a multi-homer game when he also hit his first home run. I'll be honest, like, you know, as far as, like, technically speaking, I got a better read on the second one, probably because it was crushed 439 feet. And when you get a better read, it allows you to do some better things. That first one, I mean, he has a pitch at his eyes. And from our vantage point, you know, where we are, it was a little bit tough to see whether or not that one was going to go out. And then when it did, you just hope you meet the moment. So I'm glad I didn't screw it up. That's all I got to say.
Well, listen, this is so good. Second home run here.
The pitch. Fastball hit high in the air. Deep to right center field. Garcia turns around. Watches it fly. Home run, Jack Caglione. Make it two for Cags today in Texas. 4-1 Royals in the top of the ninth inning.
That was the second one. It was, we're talking to Jake Eisenberg, voice of the Kansas City Royals. Jake, I got to say, there was something about that first home run. There was a couple things about that home run that was interesting. One, it was high, like you said. It was way up there, right? That was since StatCast, what, the fourth baseball hit that high since 2008?
Yeah, something like that. I think it was the highest pitch ever hit by a Royal.
Yeah. Crazy.
Pitch tracking in 2008. But, like, it's something funny that Q said after the game, you know, like, you know, for us, that ball's, you know, at our eyes. For Jack, that's a ball at his shoulders. It's really high off the ground, but Jack is also really high off the ground.
Yeah.
He's 6'5". But still incredibly impressive. But I think one thing that tells you the raw power that he has.
Yep.
I mean, if you look at that swing in slow motion and you look at the way the ball leaves the bat, in slow motion, you're like, oh, that's probably a pop-up. But because he's so naturally strong, he can sort of mishit a baseball a little bit or take a pitch that's at his eyes or at his neck and hit it over the fence. It's pretty incredible.
That was incredible. But there's something else, too, there that was interesting on the first home run. Hit it into the Rangers' bullpen. Doesn't that work out perfectly? He doesn't have to trade a bat, a jersey. The Royals don't have to come up with any tickets unless the Rangers want to, like, keep it, which I doubt they would, but, or, you know, just kind of joke with the Royals around about it, but it goes into the bullpen. Wasn't that perfect? Because now he gets that ball back free and clear.
Yeah. And I was thinking about this too. You know, he gets it back free and clear and he gets it back dry.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys remember Bobby's first home run at Kauffman Stadium. It didn't fly directly into the fountains, but it bounced into the fountains. And so I believe there was an usher that had to go fishing for it. When all was said and done, or maybe it bounced back onto the field. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm not actually sure if it did wind up in the fountains. I just know it. I know it landed in kind of left center, right in front of those seats. And either bounded back onto the field or went in the fountains. Either way, Yeah, it's probably always a little bit better when you can just get that ball back without having to worry about if it's the actual ball or, you know, if you got to trade something, although I know guys are more than happy to trade things for milestones like that.
And then one thing about too, Jake, is, you know, just think about some of the pressure, you know, on this guy. You know, he comes up, gets a few hits here and there, got the four against the White Sox, gets the day off yesterday or 2 days ago, gets the day off and then hits the two home runs. I mean, that's one of those quiet little moves that actually seemed to work out well for Jack.
Yeah, I think when we look back at it, having that little reset day, I think was probably really important. You know, he was 0 for 4 with a couple of strikeouts on Tuesday. It did make sense for him to sit on Wednesday with the Royals facing a lefty. Not that he's sat against lefties since he's gotten called up, but he hadn't had an off day yet. And one thing that kind of stuck in my mind that I was wondering about is I wonder what his experience was in the dugout during Wednesday's game, because he had never had the chance to watch a major league game from a major league dugout. And I wonder if there were different things that he picked up on or conversations he had with hitting coaches or guys that were in the game that day, just thinking about his approach or what he was going to get a chance to do the next time that he got a chance to be in there. You know, that was the first time, other than, you know, the days that he's been a designated hitter, that he's just been able to kind of watch a game unfold at the major league level. And I'm also sure that, yeah, you know, being able to put, you know, Tuesday's game behind you and then take it into Wednesday or Thursday. I think that helps a lot of guys, not just guys that are in the big leagues for the first time.
Yeah, you think about that, then of course he gets the silent treatment after the first home run. It happens around baseball, but it's kind of fun to see that happen and see the guys just having fun with Jack. But, you know, all the pressure coming up here and feeling, hey, it doesn't seem that's the way it's going to be. And, you know, Salvi, you know, hit a couple home runs the other night, but the first game against the Rangers, Bobby gets a double, boom, he scores. I mean, that's what you want, man. Your big dog stepping up in certain situations. I think it's been a nice fit for him. I mean, yes, people are going to be looking at, and fans are going to be looking at, as a savior of the organization coming up here. But the bottom line is just kind of let him settle in and just be one of the dudes. I think that'll make him better going forward.
Well, I mean, the truth is, I don't think it's fair to look at any one player as the savior of any organization.
No.
And I think the main reason why, Bink, baseball is a different sport. This is not the NBA. This is not the NHL. This is not a quarterback in the NFL. When you play baseball, it's hard as one player to have an outsized impact on every single game, every single night. I mean, that's what makes, you know, Bobby Witt Jr., the superstar that he is that we pretty much saw that over the course of last season. That's why, you know, he was the best all-around player in baseball, and if not for a historic offensive season, Aaron Judge, we're talking about him as the MVP of last year. That is an MVP-caliber thing that he does, but that is the 1% of the 1% of the 1% of baseball players. You know, the vast majority, the 99%, you know, are guys that are going to, sure, help you win a ball game here or there, but are not necessarily going to be able to impact a ball game every single night. You know, that's the big difference. You know, when you got five guys on the floor for a basketball game, one guy can go off for 50 points. When you've got one elite goal scorer on the ice, you know, whether it's Connor McDavid or somebody else, like, they can take over a game with their skill. When you've got, you know, the best quarterback in the NFL, when you got Patrick Mahomes, he can take over a game, especially, you know, in the third or fourth quarter when you need a comeback. In baseball, you don't have many chances to take over a game because there's no guarantee the ball's going to get hit in your direction on defense. You're only going to get a chance to swing the bat four, maybe five times a night. And who's to say if those four or five times a night are in a big spot that's going to have an impact on a game? You know, pitchers have a lot more of an outsized impact, especially starting pitchers. But overall, it's a team sport. It takes the entire collective. And I think that's one thing that we saw this week in Arlington. We saw this Royals team play as much of a team as you can in baseball, and we saw every part of the game click. The offense clicked, the starting pitching clicked, the bullpen clicked, and you know, that amounted to a pretty convincing sweep of a decently good Rangers team.
Talking to Jake Eisenberg, one of the voices of the Kansas City Royals, and Jake, I saw you tweet out that you had everybody else kind of in black pen when you're doing your score sheet, but you had Jack in red. Was that planned?
Well, so I guess I should clarify. Every single home run, every single run that's scored is scribbled in red. I made that note just to kind of highlight where those red ones were.
Good stuff. Bottom line is, though, they get the three. Baseball is such a game of failure. I'm sure you saw it a lot in minor league baseball when guys would get promoted, come up, and then all of a sudden they'd get acclimated to whatever level that is, double A, triple A, get acclimated to it. And you've seen it time in and time out. I'll never forget when, you know, Whit Merrifield comes up to Kansas City and it was red hot. And then, you know, teams made the adjustment on him. But he made him right back. He made him right back and still became a good player. Some guys don't. Like, some guys don't make that. It was good to see Jack doing it. But what do you notice a lot of times, Jake, when guys come up? And because baseball is a game of pressure. It's a game of failure. And even the best fail at this game at certain points. You just got to get rid of what happened the day before.
Yeah, I mean, Denny says it all the time. Life is nothing but a series of adjustments. That's the advice that he got from his dad so many years ago, and advice that he still carries over today and uses on the air a good amount. And it's like you said, you know, there are going to be guys that are going to be able to make those adjustments faster than others. The league is going to adjust to you at a certain point. That's why we see the so-called sophomore slump sometimes with players in their second season, because the book's out on them and the league has an idea of how to pitch to you, or the league has an idea of how to approach you as a hitter. It's actually something I was talking to Brian Sweeney the other day about this. It's something that was so impressive about Noah Cameron when he faced the Cardinals a second time. That was the first time that he faced a major league team for a second time. And he did it pretty quickly after the first start that he had against the Cardinals. And he went out and he threw 6 shutout innings. That's the sort of stuff that tells you that he has the ability to sustain what he's doing for the long term, because he's able to make those adjustments and still carve up a team that saw him so recently. And so looking forward to watching him. He's got the ball. He's the scheduled starter tomorrow here in San Diego.
You know, speaking of Sweeney and the Kansas City Royals pitching staff, it's been incredible. And, you know, stories like Chris Bubich that, I mean, I know Noah Cameron's had a great start with Kansas City, but Bubich has been just incredible. He's leading all of baseball in ERA until the Yankees game, which I feel like he did strike out Jazz Chisholm there, and there had to be 4 strikes in that game. Then the Yankees end up getting extra runs. But Michael Wacha, in what he's doing, his performance yesterday, he's about as steady as can be. And when you're, you know, Lugo had a great game too, but whenever you take those guys away and you have Bubich and Walk and stuff like that going out and doing what they're doing, there's a reason why the Royals are 3rd in starter ERA in baseball. That's why they're 2 in American League in starter ERA. This pitching staff hasn't blinked. They're continuing on, even with some of the big dogs going through injuries at various times. It's because of the Bubich and Wacha that they're able to keep doing this. And then Noah Cameron's. I mean, it's amazing what this pitching staff is doing.
It's been such a fun pitching staff to watch, especially because they all do it a little bit differently. And, you know, specifically on Wacha, you know, watching him yesterday, go 6 innings, 1-run ball. He didn't allow a hit until the 6th inning. I mean, you kind of look at the numbers on the surface and you see the ERA is a little bit over 3. It's like, okay, that's solid. Then you dig a little deeper and it's like, oh, wait a minute. He's allowed 3 runs or fewer in 12 of his 15 starts.
Insane.
He's got a quality start in 7 of his last 10 starts. And to be honest, if you take away the runs that have scored after he's left the game, the bequeathed runners that have scored, this is something I've talked about because I just think it's really interesting. You know, there is no pitcher that has had more bequeathed runners scored than Michael Wacha. And that's just happenstance. You know, the bullpen's going to strand some guys. Sometimes guys are going to score. It just so happens this year, the guys that Wacha has left on base when he's exited the game have invariably come around to score. There's been 9 of them this season. That's the most in baseball. You take away those earned runs from his ledger, his ERA drops like a run. And we're talking about Michael Wacha in probably a little bit of a different way. We're talking about a pitcher that would have a top 5 ERA in the American League. And so that's what he's done this season. And it's been really fun to watch.
It's been fun to watch these guys, the pitching. Now they go off to San Diego. Interesting series. We'll talk about that. They just had with the Dodgers. But Bobby Witt Jr., man, I mean, going home and being around, you know, in Dallas there and everything, 5 hits in that Rangers series. Matter of fact, 3 of his last 4 games, he's got multiple hits. I mean, that is bad news for baseball when this guy gets rolling.
Well, it's good news for us.
And good news you know for what? Us.
the good news is that there have been very, you know, few times where he hasn't been rolling. I mean, it was the other day when he was hitless in 4 straight games. That was the first time that had happened since July of 2023.
Amazing.
You know, so that is your MVP, can impact the game every single night kind of player. And it was so fun to watch him do that, you know, back, you know, in his hometown, which is a ballpark that, you know, bluntly he'd struggled in over the course of his career early on. He had never hit a home run there. He was hitting, I think, under 200 there over, you know, 9 career games, sample size being what it is. So watching him hit that double in the first inning on Tuesday and then the homer the next time up, that was really, really cool. And, you know, this lineup is starting to click. And I don't think that we can talk about this lineup, Bink, without talking about what Mikel Garcia has meant to it.
Oh, yeah.
I've started banging the drum, but Mikel Garcia needs to be an all-star this year.
Agreed.
I mean, he is the best third baseman in the American League not named Jose Ramirez. And That's with all due respect to Alex Bregman, who's also been incredible, but is on the injured list and is going to be for some time and is very unlikely to play in the All-Star game, even if he's voted to have a spot in the All-Star game. So that opens the door a little bit for Mikel Garcia to be a first-time All-Star, and he'd be incredibly deserving to be so. I also think it'd be pretty special for him to be in the All-Star game, given the fact that it's Atlanta and that's where Ronald Acuña Jr. plays, and so he's likely to be an All-Star, and those two, his cousins, could be All-Stars up against each other. I just think Mikel Garcia has done everything offensive, defensive, as a third baseman, and deserves a lot more support than he's gotten so far.
Well, it was good news. The Royals win the 3 against the Texas Rangers, a team they're very familiar with going back to spring training, sharing facilities. But now it's San Diego, and who comes off a very emotional series against the Dodgers. A lot of bad blood between those two teams. You saw Otani hit twice, once in the first game of that series, and then once again last night, Tatis was hit, pulled from that game. We'll see what his stat. Have you heard anything about Tatis? And I know he's doing x-rays today and everything.
Yeah, I mean, did you have a chance to watch any of that game last night?
I was glued to the whole thing. I saw Otani kind of wave off the team, hey, don't come out here and everything. Then Otani goes and walks over to their bench, and I was like, whoa.
I'll tell you what. So we got into San Diego last night, and you know, I popped on the back half of that game just to see, you know, what the Padres are up to. And that is one of the more ridiculous ninth innings I think I've seen in a long time. I mean, it was deliciously chaotic. I mean, you had Fernando Tatis get hit by a pitch with one out in the ninth inning. He got hit on the hand, and it did not look great. And so, no, I haven't heard anything about that today. I'm sure we'll find out at some point. But the bench is clear. Mike Schilt gets ejected. Dave Roberts kind of forearm bumps Mike Schilt. Yeah. He gets ejected. So both managers get ejected. Both dugouts are warned. That's the top of the ninth inning. And then somehow the bottom of the ninth inning is even weirder because Otani's hit by a pitch on a 3-0 fastball after both benches had been warned.
Yeah.
And so because he's hit by the pitch in that fashion, it triggers an automatic ejection of both Robert Suarez and Brian Esposito, who was the bench coach for the Padres and serving as acting manager because Mike Schilt had been ejected. And so Ruben Nieblo, the pitching coach, becomes the manager. And then you continue in the bottom of the ninth inning. It's the ninth inning. The Padres entered leading 5-0, and they wound up needing 3 pitchers to get through that ninth inning. It started with back-to-back walks, then a fly out to left. Then Suarez came in. There was an RBI ground out. Then he hits Otani, gets ejected. Yuki Matsui comes in. He walks Miguel Rojas. Then he goes 3-2 on Dalton rushing. Ball 3 winds up bouncing in the dirt up into Martin Maldonado's chest protector for a catcher's balk. That brings in a
run. Seen that.
And then ultimately Matsui gets the strikeout to end the game. But it was just such a wild and ridiculous sequence. And, I mean, the one thing that I thought was really interesting about it was having watched kind of the back half of that game, is that both Miguel Rojas and Dalton rushing had entered the game as pinch hitters, I believe in the 7th or 8th innings for Mookie Betts and Will Smith, respectively. And what was a 5-run game, which was an interesting situation for them to be pinch hitting in. It almost kind of felt like the Dodgers were punting on that game a little bit and getting their guys a little bit of rest. And look, nothing against Miguel Rojas and Dalton rushing, but when you've got the tying runs on base or at the plate, I'd rather have Mookie Betts or Will Smith at the plate. I mean, those guys are two of the best in the league. And, I mean, who knows how that game turns out if those guys are still in there. But as far as the Padres go, that was a win they needed to avoid getting swept in a 4-game series against the Dodgers. They come back from a 2-4 road trip against the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers. They've played a ton of close games this year. They played a ton of weird games this year. It's a team that has had some inconsistent offense. Though Xander Bogaerts did have 4 hits for him yesterday. He'd been really cold. Manny Machado's been, you know, the other greatest third baseman in baseball this year, but of course he's in the National League. So no doubt he'll be the starter at third base for the National League at third base. He's incredible. One other thing to note about their offense, Jackson Merrill, who was 2nd in Rookie of the Year voting last year and arguably should have won the whole thing. He's currently on the injured list. He's on the 7-day concussion IL. That happened last Saturday against the Diamondbacks. So that's a big piece that the Padres are missing from their lineup. But it's going to be a really interesting series.
I agree. Good to see both these teams coming up here in the Padres and the Dodgers. Jake Eisenberg at the crack of dawn in San Diego, taking time to join us before he hits the beach. Thanks a lot, Jake. I talked to you all day, my friend.
Yeah, of course. Anytime, guys.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
They're already stars, but now you can make them all stars. Vote in the 2025 Pro Spirit MLB All-Star Ballot 5 times daily. Show your favorite players just how much you want to see them play in Atlanta. And new this year, download and visit the MLB Pro Spirit game during Phase 1, and you can secure an additional vote per day for your favorite players. Submit your ballot today at MLB.com/vote and add some shine to summer. Voting ends June 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. MLB trademarks used with permission.